Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Now and forever.
Today's saint, St. Juan Diego, is definitely worth stopping and looking into. His life is worth looking into, so we'll do exactly that. And the starting point is a consideration, the fact that the incarnation, when it occurred, definitely changed the world. All of subsequent history of the world was changed by the incarnation. Now, in Advent, it's good to remember that, good to consider that. Now, the second thought is that Our Lady, wherever she goes, brings the incarnation and the grace of the incarnation. So when she appeared in Mexico, she brought the grace and the light of the incarnation there as well. There's no doubt about that. There was a tremendous transformation in Mexico when the gospel was brought there. And when Our Lady appeared and made the spreading of the gospel effective, there's also no doubt that St. Juan Diego was instrumental in this as well, because Our Lady chose him. It would be speculation to try to guess, well, what if St. Juan Diego hadn't previously converted? Because when Our Lady appeared to him, he had already embraced the Christian faith. Speculative, but nevertheless, we can emphasize that point. It was St. Juan Diego that was used by Our Lady, this humble instrument. And through him, Our Lady's presence in Mexico took root. The gospel faith took root as well. But the transformation, let's just focus on that for a moment. The Aztec world into which St. Juan Diego was born and the one in which he died were completely different. And that's true with any culture. Before a culture receives the gospel, it's sitting in darkness, some form of darkness. There's no exception to that. There were two particular sins that characterized, stained, darkened the culture of the Mexican people prior to the arrival of the gospel. The first of these major sins from which the gospel freed them was human sacrifice. I'll read to you briefly from Warren Carroll's book of popular history, Our Lady of Guadalupe and the Conquest of Darkness. A very good and very easy read. I highly recommend it. A very short book as well. So quoting from him, he tells us that each 20-day month in the Aztec calendar had its festival dedicated to one of their gods. Most of these festivals were marked by sacrifices ranging from one to thousands. The sacrifices were of people, usually adult men, but fairly often children as well were sacrificed. And every Aztec city had a pyramid temple, and month after month, year after year, the sacrificial victims were bent over backwards over these slabs of stone, convex slabs of stone, and they were bent over backwards by a priest who had a hook in his hand and never cut black hair, all caked and matted with dried blood of his previous victims. An immense knife with a blade of midnight black volcanic glass rose and fell, cutting the victim open. His heart was torn out while still beating and held up for all to see, while his ravaged body was kicked over the edge of the temple, only later to be found and the limbs to be eaten. The law of the empire required 1,000 sacrifices to the Aztec gods in every town with a temple every year. And there were 371 subject towns in the Aztec empire, though not every single one had a temple. But a conservative estimate, just to have a number, a conservative estimate would be that at least 50,000 men, probably much more, but at least 50,000 were sacrificed every year. And an early Mexican historian, Ixtlilxochitl, estimated that one out of every five children was sacrificed as well. So that was one sin. That was one dimension of the darkness. Another one was the widespread practice of sodomy as well. Mexico consisted of Aztec and non-Aztec people, particularly amongst the non-Aztec peoples, nevertheless subject to the empire. Homosexuality was generally very freely practiced. So the early chronicles of the Spaniards who arrived there and saw with their eyes tell us that there was widespread sodomy that included children of up to 6 years or children dressed like women to practice prostitution. The chronicles also speak of religious acts in which sodomy was practiced. And Bernal Diaz, who's left an amazing diary of the conquest of Mexico, if you're really a scholarly mind, I suggest reading that one. He speaks of homosexuality amongst the ruling classes, prostitution of young people, cross-dressing in the area of Veracruz. Nunez Cabeza, another chronicler, writes about the diabolical practices of a man married to another man. Effeminate men, impotent men, dressed like women, performing women's duties. We saw many such amarionados, or effeminate men, although taller and sturdier than the other men. Many of these practiced sins against nature. Again, every culture is steeped in some form of darkness. These two forms particularly characterize the world into which St. Juan Diego was born. And it's around 1475 that he's born. 12 miles north of Cactus Rock, which is the native name for Mexico City. He was probably like his class, an artisan who had begun to learn the trade of maker of reed mats, by which he was later to earn his living. He was one of the despised poor of the Aztec Empire. His name was Cuauhtlahuac, which means he who talks like an eagle. And approximately 40 years later, he was to be baptized with the Christian name of Juan Diego, and then in 1531, it was to him that the Mother of God appeared, she who crushes the head of the serpent. She who, by appearing on his telma, communicated to the peoples of Mexico that their faith was supposed to become their own. It was not just a Spanish thing from the outside, but a thing for their culture as well. And that message was communicated effectively. And after that, so 1531 was that moment of the appearance of Our Lady to St. Juan Diego. And after that, in an amazingly short period of time, the culture was totally transformed. So if we look at other attempts to evangelize, for example, the author tells us of the 300 years that it took for the Portuguese to convert half of the population of Angola in Africa, 200 years that it took to convert the Philippines, which today are still, let's just for the sake of oversimplification say, still a very Catholic country. And yet in Mexico, things happened much more quickly, precisely because of the intervention of Our Lady. When Bernal Diaz was writing his vivid, unforgettable narrative of the conquest of Mexico, 50 years after it began, so it began in 1519, he was writing his diary around 1569, the conversion of Mexico was not only complete, but had been established long enough to bear fruit in a truly Christian culture. By then, there was 11 dioceses already in the country of Mexico. And Bernal Diaz writes, "Let us give thanks to God and to His Blessed Mother, Our Lady, for giving us grace and support to conquer these countries where so much Christianity is now established." Up until 1532, there were only about 200,000 baptisms in a nation of about 20 million people. By 1536, there were 5 million baptisms. By 1548, 9 million baptisms. And by about 1570, almost the entire nation was Catholic. What happened in the meantime? Well, a very simple thing. St. Juan Diego, who was living his humble life of fidelity to the gospel, received that apparition of Our Blessed Lady, and in humble obedience made her known. So the takeaway is the following, just to end it here. This long, already long enough is this reflection. The takeaway is the following, that definitely the world has changed with the Incarnation. And wherever Our Lady goes, wherever Our Lady is present, she brings the grace of the Incarnation. But Our Lady looks for docile instruments to use, to collaborate with her. St. Juan Diego was such a docile instrument. This humble little soul, childlike soul, who spent the whole rest of his life living in a little hermitage as the custodian of the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, just sweeping the floor there and praying to Our Lady. Our Lady looks for such docile instruments, souls who consecrate themselves completely to her and who help her to bring the grace of the Incarnation, the grace of the God-man, to every culture. And we can do the same. If only we consecrate ourselves to Our Lady, we can bring that light to the dark world in which we now live. Praised be Jesus and Mary.
now and forever.